chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Come before you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we look at the Word of God and what it teaches us, I pray that every person here might desire to do what the Word of God says, no matter what everybody else is doing. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, and we trust you for blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. In other words, she's a little bit tricky, subtle of heart. I would like to just consider these five words that Almighty God gave us. The attire of a harlot. Those five words. In other words, the Lord has said that this woman that met this fella is dressed like a whore. Now we're going to get down to cases today. She's dressed like a whore. And behold, I met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Now, a harlot or a whore, the Bible uses both words. What is a whore? In the broadest sense, the principle of her life is to use her body for gain. She never used her body in the way that God intended her to use her body. She's going to use her body for gain. She's selling her body. She's not honorable. She's the lowest form of life. She uses her body for gain. She makes a living, not an honorable living. She's not a wife, not a companion, not a teacher, not a mother. She's available to every man who will pay. You know, the Bible says that a wife's body belongs to and is part of her husband. A whore's body is available for whatever dishonorable slime ball will pay. And therefore, in many cases, you can tell who is a whore by how she dresses. Verse 10 speaks of the attire of a harlot. Almighty God has identified something here. He says, the attire of a harlot. This is the way a whore dresses. That's what God is saying. The attire of a harlot. You could tell what she was by the way she dressed. A man sees her, and when he sees her, he can tell she's a whore. You know, in 1970, I was working in Harlem, and I spent long hours in New York City, long hours driving actually from the Philadelphia area to the New York City area every day, then driving home again at night. Sometimes I had meetings at night and I would leave the city kind of late. And you know, as I drove home at night, I could see the whores on the corner. You know, two or three of them would be standing near each other on each corner. One time, I remember, as I had a stoplight, they came to my car door on the passenger's side. One of the things I noticed about the way that they dressed, there would be many things to notice, but one of the things I noticed, they were wearing a certain kind of stylish boot. Well, you know, the next thing you know, I was up here and I was preaching, you know, and I was preaching against this kind of thing. I gave a message one Sunday morning, and I mentioned approximately what I just mentioned now about these whores wearing certain kind of stylish boot. Maybe I described the boot. Well, you know what? One of the women in our church, a married woman, came to the service that same night wearing that same kind of boot that I described. She would show me. That was a kind of in-your-face preacher. And we believe in grace kind of thing, you know. I'll wear that kind of boot if I want. I don't care if all the whores in New York wear that kind of boot. I'll wear that kind of boot if I want. Nobody will tell me what kind of boot I'm going to wear, you know. A few years later, her oldest daughter was a druggie. I could just mention, and don't try to show up the pastor. It may be that the Lord might be behind the pastor. We're looking at five words here that God gave us. The attire of a harlot. A harlot is a woman who uses her body for gain. She doesn't keep her body for her husband, but she uses it for some kind of gain, usually thought of as financial. Now let's say if a girl uses her body to get a boy's attention, would you call her a semi-whore? You know, it may not be for a cash transaction, though he might buy her some presents or do some nice things for her, perhaps thinking in exchange for her body that can give him a good time, or tell her what she wants to hear so that he can have a good time. You know, sometimes even wives use their body to get what they want. What would you call that? If they're using their body, withholding from their husband to get him to do what they want him to do, what would you say that was? Was that using the body for gain? Five words that God gave us, the attire of a harlot. A whore is lowlife who sells her body for gain. Then how will she dress? Well, she will dress to sell her body to get that attention. She will dress so that a man will want to pay for her. She will dress to sell her body. And the Bible says the attire of a harlot. And you can tell. You know what the attire of a harlot is. Now, girls, here's what you need to understand. Girls will always dress to get a boy's attention. They'll always do that. But here's what's important. Here's the big but. When you emphasize the sexual aspect to get attention, you are qualifying then for the attire of a harlot. Right, there's a difference. Girls will want the boys' attention. They want the boys to notice them. And that's all right. That's part of being a girl. But when it's done in a way that emphasizes the sexual aspect to gaining the attention, then you qualify for the attire of a harlot. And girls, let's be honest about this. I'm not buying you don't know. I just don't buy that. Sorry, I don't buy that. Maybe I'll buy it if you come to me and say, Pastor, there are no mirrors in our house. Maybe I'll buy it then. Hey. But you know what? I just have a feeling that the girls are standing in front of the mirror. Hey. They look and they know exactly how they look. They know all the things that they think are wrong with them. They know how they want to look. They're in front of that mirror. And they're thinking about what people are going to think about how they look. And you can deny that up and down. I'm not buying into it. You know, there was in a Christian school a teacher who was approached by an administrator about how she dressed. And he mentioned something to her. She says, "Oh, I didn't know that." Right. Right. Tell me there's no mirror in your house. You didn't know that. You knew that. Females are always looking in the mirror to see how they look. Yeah, so do the boys. And they know exactly how they look. And they know how they want to look. And when you're emphasizing sex appeal to get attention, then you've got the attire of a harlot, because you want to get the attention from your body. You know, I was just in Florida, where the weather was warm, and I saw how the girls dressed. And, you know, a year ago in June, I was in California, and I saw how the girls dressed there. And last year, I characterized the way the girls were dressing in warmer weather. I characterized it just with these two words, tight white. Tight white. That's what I noticed. That's how they dressed, tight white. In other words, they had tight, form-fitting white tops. Form-fitting. Completely tight, form-fitting. They looked as if they may have been a mold in which they were poured into it. You see? Tight white. Skimpy and sheer. Skimpy and sheer. Now, did everybody wear white? No, not everybody wore white, you know? I'm going to throw that in. Not everybody wore white. So, Pastor Stupid, he thought everybody was wearing white. No, they weren't all wearing white. But it did seem to be dominant. Tight white. Listen, girls, I know what's going on. I've studied the Bible. Because I've studied the Bible, I know what's going on. Almighty God says, the attire of a harlot. There is a certain way girls dress when they want to get involved with boys. And there's a certain way girls dress, and it sends a message to the boys. The Bible says, the attire of a harlot. So they dress that way. I also was in public school. I was in high school locker rooms. You know, back in the old days. And in the old days, you know, there was wickedness in the old days too. And there were girls who, in those days, you know, you considered them to be the low life, and more the girls are dressed better, but... You know, and I'd hear boys say to other boys when they would see a sexy girl, "I'd like to get in her pants." When you dress for boys to think that, you're dressing with the attire of a harlot. You might say, "I don't charge," but you're dressing with the attire of a harlot. And comes the excuse, "But this is all they're selling in the stores. We don't even have any other options." You know what? I'm sorry, not buying that either. You know why? Because I can see girls who don't look that way. They must have figured out something. They must have figured out something. No, you know, a lot of girls, they see the starlets and the Hollywood whores, you know, that sing and act and things, and they see what they're wearing, and that's what they're putting in the stores, and the girls want to have that look so they get the attention from the boys, you know, that's what's really going on. Of course there's other stuff. You see, it's not that you can't buy what's right. Because you don't want some worldly friend or relative to make fun of you. And all I would say about that is stay away from those then. They'll make fun of you and say, oh, what are you, some kind of old-fashioned prude or something? You don't know how to dress like the rest of us. They look down at their nose. You know, you're not stylish like the rest of us, you know? Well, you know, sheer tight white. That's what was the attire of the harlot last year. Now, you know, I'll say this too. I'm just trying to cover all the bases because, you know, in the city, sometimes the harlots, they have little furry things that hang around their neck, and you know, different stuff like that, you know. But this year, I noticed a slight change. It is no longer just simply tight white. Now I would call it tight white with lots of skin. Tight white with lots of skin. Well, you know, I was on vacation, and where I lived on vacation was on the fourth floor. And because it was the fourth floor, we regularly took the elevator up and down. And some of us were on the elevator one day, and this family gets on. And there's a young girl, and she's, you know, I'm standing in the back of the elevator, and people are squeezing into the elevator, and she's comes right in, right in front of me. She's 2 inches from me. Maybe she's 14 years old. She was tight white with lots of skin. And you know, I think her parents were on there too. I don't know, were you on that one? They don't remember which one, but maybe there's so many of them, you know. I guess the other guys. I think maybe her parents were on there, but you know what? I mean, there was only one way for a Christian to be in that kind of situation, you know? We weren't looking around at anybody, you know? You saw what was coming up standing next to you, just kind of, you know, kept the eyes ahead or high, you know? And you know, the way this girl was dressed, there are plenty of whores that might wear more than she was wearing. Yeah. More than she was wearing. Now, when this happened, all kinds of thoughts were going through my head as we were keeping our eyes straight ahead, you know. And I thought of some possible things to say. The things that I thought of saying, I thought could possibly explode that elevator. You know, how would this girl and her parents react if I said, you know, that's some incredible, revealing, provocative outfit. I hope some boy doesn't grab you around the corner and rape you. Can you imagine if I would have said that? My parents would have been out of their mind. They would get off that elevator, race for a phone, and said, arrest this guy. Yeah, I said, arrest this guy. You see, in the old days, if a girl was raped, you know, a lot of times they would say, what was she wearing? Was she provocative? You're not allowed to do that anymore. Hey. And I'm not giving guys an excuse no matter what she's wearing or not wearing. But that's what they used to say. You say they had a few more brains in those days to say, what was she wearing? Right. Of course, I didn't say that. A can't imagine how this sermon is going to be reported. Do you know what the pastor said to a half-naked girl in the elevator? Or how about this? You know, here's another thing I thought of that could have been said. I thought, you know, I could have said something like this to her. I hope you're on a pill so that you don't get pregnant or end up killing the unborn baby or bear a child you don't want. Could have said that. That would have been pretty explosive too. Or how about this? What if I were to just stare at her body? Now, is there a law against that? God might have a law against it. You know, what if I would just stare at it? Yeah, she'd be so offended by a dirty old man, you know? But her dress was the attire of a harlot. So men would look at her. And when they would look at her, they'd be thinking. And they wouldn't be thinking, let's go somewhere for stimulating intellectual discussion. They wouldn't be thinking of that. They wouldn't be thinking, you know what? That girl could make a nice housewife someday and a good mother. That's not what they'd be thinking. They'd be thinking, you know what? She could satisfy my lusts. And I must say, that right then and there, on that elevator, that day, on vacation, her provocative outfit motivated this message. So now you know where I get my messages from. And if I keep riding in elevators, you can imagine what they will be about. Girls, don't be like the world. Don't be like the world. Yeah, that's how the world is dressing. And that's acceptable to the world for the girls to dress like that. And then the girls go out and they get involved with a boy. And that boy, you know what? He's just a phony. He tells her how much he loves her. And he doesn't love her at all. All he loves is his lust and what she can do to make his life exciting. And when he's done with her, he throws her away. And maybe it's her and her baby that he's throwing away. And you know what? Her life just gets more and more miserable as she goes. Because you know what? The next thing she keeps doing it. That's right, she keeps doing it. And after she has the baby, you know, her belly is a little bit fatter, and she's still wearing the same stuff, it's even tighter. And some guy grabs her, the same kind of guy again. And then, when that's over, the same kind of guy again, and she's filled with heartbreak. One heartbreak after another with the no-good guys who are looking for that kind of a girl. Girls, you want a guy that's looking for someone who is modest, who knows what they're going to have for a wife. Girls, the world is on a broad road, not only to hell, but to a sour, sickening life after the pleasure of sin for a season. That's what's ahead for them. Don't copy them. End up like them. Miserable. And mothers, if they don't get it, you put your foot down. And if you don't put your foot down, she'll cause you untold grief later. Don't allow tight, revealing tops, short, tight skirts, form-fitting pants. Some of the skirts right up above the knee. Make them change it and take the stuff and throw it out. Throw it in the garbage. Get rid of it. Whatever it takes. We don't want to be close to the attire of a harlot. The world accepts it. But the world is always in this crisis thing, you know? Crisis management. Why is there crisis management? Because they refuse what the Bible teaches. And they make fun of what the Bible teaches. And they think there's something wrong with you if you follow what the Bible teaches. And they're always in crisis management, and they can't put the two together. They cannot, because sin will make you stupid, and they can't put the two together. And they can't say, you know what, because of the way we're allowing the dress, and what we're allowing them to see, and we're allowing the booze, and we're allowing all these things, we got nothing but grief. They're not saying that. No, they say, this is all right. You know, I mentioned to you that I went to my bank. My bank, it had this thing about crisis, some kind of crisis thing, crisis for women. Yeah, there's crisis, all right. You know? And then I get my statement in the mail. And in my statement, you know what I get in my statement? I get this advertisement. This is from a bank. A bank has to do with money, doesn't it? You put your money in, you take your money out. You know, they pay you some interest. They take a lot more interest if you get a loan. That's what banks do. I get this in the mail with my bank. It's an advertisement for summer theater. Why is the bank doing that? I thought they'd advertise, get a loan from us and get yourself in a lot of debt. You know? Oh no, they got the summer theater. And, you know, and this is a bank. Banks are supposed to be, sophisticated establishments, you know, high class establishments. What are they advertising here? Well, in the 2005 season, you know, the first summer theater thing that you can see is hair. I don't know if you kids know what hair is. Don't bother about it. You know what I mean? It was the low-down slime hippie, bottom of the barrel, timeless blend of music and message. It's the wrong message. Okay, hair. Next is Dames at Sea, full of dancing and torch songs. You know? And I get down to the fourth one. And you know what the fourth one they're advertising is? The best little whorehouse in Texas. You see, the world accepts that. You see? And it says, good old dancing, singing, and fun. I'm sorry. The depths of sin, it's celebrating. And the world accepts it, and the bank sends it out. They're not bothered by it. Girls, your friends are not going to be bothered by sin until it gets them by the neck and strangles them in the terrible relationships and the terrible things that's going to happen to them and all of the regret and heartache that they're going to have for the rest of their life. Don't be like the world. Mothers, don't let them be like the world. We don't want to be close to the attire of a harlot. Verse 10 says, the attire of a harlot. God says, you can tell by the way that they dress. You can tell. And the way a girl dresses says to the boys, I'm available. You know what? This year, I'm going to just depart from that for a moment because we have a graduation banquet coming up, and that's always a highlight kind of a time. And, what I heard was in the past that the girls would have to take their dresses to the principal and have him check to see if he thought that they were all right to wear. There's something about that that I really don't care for very much, you know. So we decided we weren't going to do that this year. But we are going to tell the girls, I don't know, Mrs. Banks, have you gone through this with the girls? You have. So I'll just repeat it anyway so that the mamas know in case the girls neglected to tell the mamas, all right? Maybe the girl will go and she'll look for dresses and she won't be able to find a modest dress anywhere, you know. Well, you know, your mama probably knows how to sew something onto it that'll make it modest. But what we decided to do is this, you know? We tell the girls, don't come in an immodest dress. And if you don't know what an immodest dress is, and you come in an immodest dress, we have a solution. We have a solution. Okay?
This will fit over you. We probably need one that has a button at the top. Okay? So, you know, we'll have a nice coat for you. Nice coat to cover you up. Keep you modest. He said, but then they won't be able to see the dress.
Right.
You see? All right, so that's what we're going to do. All right?
And then, of course, you know what? If we do that, somebody get angry and leave the church, right? Because when you do bad, that's what you do, you know. You get angry at the people that call you on it, see? All right. So now you know. Now you know, and everybody should know. I'm going to give you this one great piece of advice. Don't use your body to attract boys. Let the Lord select the right good man for you, regardless of how long it takes. And he's going to be looking for a modest girl, not a whore. And the way you dress will tell him. Well, let's tell him a little bit what you're like anyway. And if you dressed immodestly, that really tells him what you like. You're looking for a good man. You want to dress good and leave it up to the Lord. That's what you need to do. Let's bow together for prayer. So our heads are bowed. We come to this prayer and invitation time. I'm going to ask you right now. This is an important time in our service tonight. You can make a decision right now. You can make a decision right now. And you can say, Lord, I have decided by the grace of God, I will be careful in my life from here on to not wear anything that could be considered by heaven the attire of a harlot. Would you make that decision right now? Lord God of heaven, by your grace, by your strength, help me remember, no matter what everybody else is doing, Lord, that I want to dress to please the Lord God of heaven, and I'll trust you for all the results. And girls, if you have any of the kind of stuff that's immodest, you ought to right now determine in your heart and say, you know what, I'm going to go home, I'm going to throw that stuff away, make sure it goes to the garbage dump. I won't have it anymore. I don't care how much it costs me. It could cost me a whole lot more than the dollars that it took to pay for it. Would you make that decision? If you've done wrong on this, would you repent before the Lord? Say, Lord, I want to be a godly girl, a godly woman, from this day forward, in the way that I dress, knowing that when I look in the mirror, knowing, Lord, you see me, and you see the thoughts in my brain. And Lord, I know that you can bring good people into my life, or I can slide into the slime pit. Would you make that decision right now, young people, mothers? Would you make the decision? I'm going to be strong for my daughter's sake to make sure that she in no wise has the wrong look. Would you do that? May God help you to do the right thing in this moment. Father in heaven, I pray for the young women. I pray for the mothers. I pray that these five words from the Word of God might have an impact upon their heart and their life for the rest of their life, so they might have the good joys that come with a good marriage, finding people who have the proper and right motives to be with. Lord, I pray for each one that they might be strengthened to go against the tide of the wickedness of the world, which would seduce them into sin with all its resultant misery. Lord, I pray for them. Strengthen them. And Lord, I pray that we might set forth a standard that would glorify You, be blessed by You. We seek to do Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.